Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Text Message with me, Nate Langson.
And me, Ian Morris.
Well, go on then, make a joke.
I'm not going to make it now. Well, I was just going to say that this has been a monumental week for music. One of the biggest artists in the world has released a brand new album. And I'm talking, of course, about Carly Rae Jepsen and The Loneliest Time.
Yeah, I listened to it on the day it came out. And it's really, really boring. It's really boring. There's not a single track on that album that stood out. Anyway, I know what the joke you're alluding to.
Yes, I was. That's not true, though, because Beach House is amazing, but that was already released. So
Beach House is an okay song, but yes, you're right.
It's an amazing song.
The better album released that day was Taylor Swift's
Midnight. That's just not true.
I had a listening party with my sister-in-law. She came down from Scotland. We listened to it. We discussed every track in detail.
God.
We debated all the things, and then we listened to Carly Rae Jepsen and got disappointed, and then I made her listen to Flesh God Apocalypse.
I must admit, I haven't listened to the Carly Rae Jepsen album yet, but yeah, that's upsetting to hear. But,
So was last week's...
I won't be listening to the Taylor Swift album, obviously.
Well, you're missing out on a great treat.
Sure.
You're missing out on a great treat. You just be better, make better decisions. Listen, listen up, fool.
Listen up.
I was listening to last week's podcast that you did without me.
Yes.
It was a lot of fun. I feel like I should disown Andy.
Why? But,
well, he insulted me quite a lot, didn't he?
Oh, it was brilliant. It was really funny. It's the sort of thing that I can't really say some of that stuff because I'm just a friend. But Andy's blood.
Well, you're a very, very close friend.
I know, but even so, I feel like there are some things, you know, blood being thicker than water and all that, that you know, you could just get away with when you're an actual relative. I enjoyed doing it with Andy. He's very good. He's a great co-host. Mm. I did, as I said on the show last week, I do have a newfound respect for what you do with this, because it's quite a lot of talking that the sort of chair has to do. Mm. And by chair, I mean you know,
well, obviously.
I didn't mean chair. My chair doesn't say anything throughout this, apart from the occasional farting noise.
Right. And is that from the chair, or is that from the idiot sitting on it?
No, it's definitely from the chair.
Right. Okay, good.
So, congratulations on all the shows that you've recorded. This is 287, so you've done, what, 286 of those?
There or thereabouts.
Oh, no, 285, because I did the other one on my own that time, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I've done a few.
It's difficult. It's hard work. It requires a lot of focus and attention, and you know, you do a great job every week. So, well done.
Aww.
Good to have you back, mate.
Oh, thank you. Well, thanks for
I was going to say, listening to it back, I was like, I was laughing as I was telling people you had COVID, and I felt kind of bad about that afterwards because it wasn't funny. But also, you apparently didn't have COVID anyway. So it's
fine. I mean, it was very funny. It was very funny. It was very surreally funny. But do you know what isn't funny? Is Sky Stream? Apparently, that's your cue.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it might be funny. It depends what you put on it.
I want to know about SkyStream because I only saw this over the last 24 hours that it was even a thing, and I got very confused because I was like, the Sky Q and the Sky Stream and the Sky, and it's not Sky, it's on a cable, and is that the same as Sky Glass? And what about Sky Go and Now? And I was all kinds of perplexed. Every flavour of perplexed you could be, I was it.
I've got good news for you, because once I've said all these words that I'm going to say, there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions, which I'm sure you will do.
Yeah.
And I'd encourage it, because I think the best way to get to the bottom of this nonsense is to talk about, you know, what you'd like to know. But to start, Sky's at it again, launching another new and mildly confusing product. This time it's called Sky Stream, and it's essentially Sky Glass but without the glass, although technically Sky Glass doesn't come with any glass either, so I can't help you with any of that. It's a small puck, I said puck, that works the same as Sky Glass, essentially, It's the same sort of thing as you would already get with Sky Glass, because you can get an extender if you are a Sky Glass subscriber. It's essentially the same, although not exactly. The Sky Stream weirdly seems to include an RF input, which was baking my noodle. But apparently, and I'll give a shout out right now to What Hi-Fi for providing the pricing and everything about Sky Stream, because Sky's site isn't working for me. So I can't actually look it up, the official prices up. So big out to them for actually writing a readable article. So presumably that little socket was it might at some point be for free-to-air terrestrial signals, but it doesn't do anything at the moment. Pricing.
No, before pricing, I still don't even really know what Sky Stream is.
Is Sky delivered over the internet, so exactly, the same as Sky Glass.
So instead of putting a big thing on the side of my house,
yes,
I get the puck, and it is, for all intents and purposes, the same experience.
No, it is a wildly different experience. it's delivered over the internet, but the channel selection is not as comprehensive. In some ways, that's good, because what you don't get is 900 channels of absolute garbage. However, there is some garbage on there, but also it's bad because there might be a channel that you like watching that isn't available. So they do add things from time to time. For example, CNN was recently added, which was good to see, but there are I couldn't tell you what the exact lineup differences are, but there are a few, and it's not the same, and it is not as reliable, and it looks completely different to Sky Q, which is the satellite delivered TV product. Any other questions?
Yeah.
Mike in the chat has just brought up Now TV to further complicate things. I'll get to that in a bit.
All right, so what's the difference between this and Sky Q?
Sky Q is a
box you put under your TV as well.
That is correct, yes. But it is a box with a hard drive in it that enables you to record a number of channels simultaneously. I believe it's something like 6. It's crazy. It was the next generation of sort of satellite box from Sky. It has advantages. For example, if you open the Sky Go app on your home network, you can stream live TV to an iPad or a phone, but it has to connect to a Sky Q box in order to do that. It doesn't deliver it over the internet. Now, quite why, when they already have all these channels online, you can't stream them to a phone, I couldn't tell you. I imagine there's a complicated rights issue at play here. But Sky Q is very much a traditional satellite receiver, goes under your telly, has a recorder in it, it allows you to schedule and record programs as you see fit, as well as offering all the sort of normal on-demand content you'd expect. In terms of on-demand, these products are identical. So the stuff that you get on Sky Q, you can get on Sky Glass. All of it's the same.
And Sky Stream?
Exactly, same as Sky Glass. So it's a slightly more limited channel lineup, but it is functionally the streaming aspect of it allows you to add other apps. So for example, you can get Disney Plus, you can get Netflix. It's included in the price, in fact, if you want it. These are essentially streaming sticks, but they are more heavily controlled than anything you would get as a third-party device. So you won't be adding Plex, for example, to your Sky Glass. You'd need an Apple TV or another box to do that.
Got it. Okay. So this leaves me with Sky regular satellite, which is a satellite-delivered thing with a box, or I get Sky Q, which is all that but posher because I can record stuff and does all the...
Well, you could record with Sky HD, but, I mean, yeah.
Right.
I'm not going to pretend that this is not confusing, because it has been annoying people like me who write about or used to write about these things for a really long time. Original product, Sky Digital, then it was Sky HD. Oh, no, Sky Plus, which was recording of standard definition, then Sky HD, which was recording of high definition, then Sky Q came along, added a bunch of internet features like apps, you know, for streaming Netflix, that kind of thing, greater flexibility, far more recording. You can record, it has loads of tuners, basically. It's got like 6 or 7 tuners, so you can watch and record a lot of things simultaneously. Now we're into the post-satellite world, where everything is delivered over the internet, and you either have the Glass TV, which is a TV with all that functionality built in, or you have Sky Stream, which is a tiny little box, goes under your TV. Is ideal if you already love your TV and don't want to buy a Sky TV.
Got it. And presumably if I don't want to buy a satellite dish.
Exactly. I mean, okay. A lot of people can't have satellite dishes for various reasons. You might live in a flat. You might be prohibited by local regulations or whatever. So it is a good option.
Just for clarification, by the way, people, if this bit sounds scripted, it actually isn't. I genuinely don't know the answer to these questions.
And I haven't written any of this down.
Yeah. I asked Ian to look into this because I want to know what it is. And basically, if I should get it. Tell me about prices then. I think I've got the general idea. It's TV and it's some on-demand stuff, but it doesn't rely on any other hardware that Sky may or may not need or want to sell me. Fine.
Exactly. Think of it as like a little Apple TV, but for Sky. Pricing starts at £26 a month, which covers the entertainment channels and Netflix, basic Netflix. If you want a rolling month-by-month contract, you'll need to pay £40 up front for the box. But if you pick an 18-month contract, you can get it for £20. And that the difference in pricing continues. So every price has two prices, basically. So there's a price if you've got an 18-month or higher contract and a price if you're just on a rolling month-by-month contract. And obviously, the month-by-month ones are much more expensive.
Just let's do the 18-month.
Yeah, okay, all right. So if you're paying for the 18 months up front, it's £20 for the box.
Right.
You could add Sky Cinema for £11, okay. And Sky, and that includes Paramount Plus, and you can add Sky Sports for £25. You also will have to pay an additional £6 a month, and this is where it will really get your heckles up, 4K. So if you want 4K HDR, that's an additional £6 a month. If you want additional boxes, so same account, but more boxes for your other TVs, that's £12 a month. And if you want ad skip after the first year, that's £5 a month.
Ad skip, what, for live TV?
No, for certain on-demand content. So, for example...
So all this and I'm still having to watch ads?
Yes. If you want to watch House of Dragons, or whatever it's called, there would be ads in it, even though it's an HBO show and it was not designed for adverts. Sky put ads in their shows.
I do not have a problem paying an extra fee for 4K because it allows people who don't care about 4K to pay £6 less. And as we discussed with the YouTube 4K trial, which I believe has ended now, charging potentially for 4K, I don't think that's a bad deal. But ads can get in the sea. I'm not paying
I agree.
For more ads, particularly
even if you've got ad skip, you will still see ads at the start of a program. I hate it. I think it's the biggest... annoyance, actually, aside from some technical issues, the fact that you still have to sit through an ad, some Sky sponsorship for almost certainly for Sky Bet, with some awful ex-footballer being an awful waste of oxygen, so you still have to sit through that. You can fast forward it, but ads are removed from the body of the program, so where there would, if you, what you'll see is you'll see a junction, so the title card for the show will come up. If you've got ad skip, you won't see any ads. If you don't have ad skip, you will see ads.
Right. My conclusion.
You can fast
then,
forward, though, I will say, because for on demand, it doesn't prevent that.
That's inconvenient. The controller's always further away than my fingers.
And also, fast forwarding on demand content is not a slick operation. You can get it to the point where you build up muscle memory and you basically have to shoot past the beginning of a show, then press play, and then it automatically rolls it back by a certain amount. So you get pretty good at like knowing how many seconds you need to leave it after that you finish fast forwarding, so it'll go back to exactly the right point.
This is so stressful and confusing.
Isn't it?
I don't get it. All right. I mean, I wasn't looking at getting Sky anyway, but when I saw the price, which is the only number I saw ahead of time, £26 a month, I got quite interested because I thought, well, actually, that might not be terrible, but you've ruined it by spoiling it with all of this nonsense.
I will say that Sky genuinely has some of the best, you know, selection of entertainment about out there. Sky Glass and Sky Stream are both pretty decent services in terms of pulling together. Now, we've talked about this before. A lot of people are kind of frustrated by the way that streaming generally means that you've got to go into an app, find something to watch. Sky has done a really good job of tying everything together. So it will bring in shows from other services and suggest that you watch them, which I think is quite nice. It's kind of the solution that everyone sort of wanted all along. And it is clear that this is how Sky sees the future. It doesn't see itself as being the sole provider anymore. It sees itself as offering services from a number of people. Presumably, ideally, it will have a cut of those services. So, for example, by bundling Netflix, it will be getting some money, I guess. Netflix will probably be taking a reduced amount of revenue from those Sky subscribers, but I doubt it makes a huge amount of difference. But it means those two are quite integrated together. You know, you've got Paramount Plus, which if you like Star Trek, it's got all the Star Trek. So that's kind of a good thing. So there are advantages to it. I don't want you to think I'm negative about Sky in general, because actually the service is quite good.
You're not, and I don't have a downer on it either, but it's more a case of if this was an entryway in that didn't tie me into a complex system of payments and having something on my house, then maybe it was quite attractive, but
why don't you give it a go? Like, you know, pay the 40 quid for the box and do a couple of months of 26 quid. Because, I'm sure you could sell the box afterwards.
Because, you know, there's a cost of living crisis going on right now.
True.
And I've cancelled loads of other subscriptions, and I'd rather spend that money on, you know, drums.
And
things. I don't really watch any TV, neither does Kate. You know, we don't have Netflix, we don't have Disney Plus, we don't have normal TV. So I think it's a waste of time. As maybe then this entire section has been, as far as I'm concerned.
No, because you're not the only person who listens to this show.
No.
So,
very true.
It's for those people. I do want to just say, Mike has asked in the chat, why is this better or worse than Now TV? That's a really good question. Now TV is largely on demand only. It's a very good service. It's not as good picture quality, I would say. Sky Glass and Sky Stream are both quite high quality. Now that can cause problems if your broadband isn't up to snuff. But Now TV is a cheaper way, I would say, of getting access to some of Sky's biggest shows. So if you want to watch House of Dragon Breath, you can do that on Now TV, and it's probably only going to cost you a tenner a month, maybe. It depends. If you want extras like no ads, then it does add up. But Now TV is, I think, a more casual approach for people like you, maybe, Nate. And you could get a Now TV app as well, I think. So actually, you don't even need the box.
I tried airplaying it to my TV, and it said I couldn't.
No, you can't. They're not very flexible about things like that.
I mean,
although,
what the hell does that make?
Sky, well, because you would have it installed on your Apple TV or your other streaming, Amazon streaming stick, maybe.
This kind of artificial bollocks just annoys me.
It is annoying.
Those restrictions.
If you're a Sky customer, you can now use the Sky Go app on your Apple TV. They didn't do it before, and it is a nice thing to have. So if you're a Sky Q customer, you could, I believe you can stream live TV to the Sky Q app on an Apple TV. So if you've got a second TV and you want to get Sky on it, it's not very good quality, but it's watchable for, you know, just a second TV, maybe in your kitchen or, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, we've talked enough about this, I think. But thank you for the comprehensive overview. It sounds like the TLDR version is if you want or are considering Sky but don't want a dish or can't have a dish, this might be a very compelling alternative that costs a comparable amount but offers a comparable service. If you weren't tempted by a dish or put off by the pricing, then this isn't going to maybe win you around. But if you've got any feelings on this and you're feeling them now, just check. Can you feel them? Are they feelings? Then you've got feelings. Send us those feelings in the form of an email to hello@uktechshow.com. Well, a thorny issue came up this week, Ian. Net neutrality. Yeah. This was basically because Ofcom said it wanted to propose, or rather it has proposed, I suppose, softening some of the existing rules in the UK on net neutrality. Ooh. Now, so before I jump in and explain what those proposals look like, it's probably worth recapping what net neutrality is and why it matters, because it really does matter to anyone who pays for an internet connection or who uses one, which is to say probably everyone listening to this, I'm very sure. So in basic terms, if you buy a broadband connection, and let's say you're offered unlimited data and a, let's say, 100 megabit per second connection, you would reasonably expect to be able to stream Netflix as quickly as Disney Plus or iPlayer or any of the Sky stuff we just talked about, or your kids are downloading a new video game, your ISP should let them do so at the same speed, regardless of whether they're downloading it on an Xbox or on a PlayStation or on a PC. Or if it's a work thing, maybe you're uploading loads of massive files to Dropbox. You shouldn't be expected to pay more if one day you need to upload to Google Drive at the same very, very fast speeds instead of Dropbox. And net neutrality and the rules about around network neutrality make all that possible. An ISP can't take money from one content provider or service provider in order to make their stuff look better or get to you faster than those of their rivals. Nor can an ISP slow down your connection because you're using, again, this is all hypothetical, because you're using an Xbox rather than a PlayStation, unless you pay it more, or until Microsoft pays it, the ISP, to keep Xbox download speeds as fast as PlayStation's, because Sony is also paying the ISP for premium service priority. So the debate with the ISPs have argued for years is that this isn't really fair, because it means they can't manage their networks as effectively when any new games console comes out, because they can't see that it's game content and deprioritize it, or if it's like a live sports streaming event, which again uses up a hell of a lot of network, they can't say, well, that's streaming, that's sport, so we'll deprioritize that or force those connections to be of lower quality because they haven't paid for the sports package or what have you. Nor can they go to the providers of those services like Xbox or Steam or Sky or whoever and say, you need to give us money in order to get your content to our customers because they're your customers. And you've probably heard talks about that in the past, like getting BBC iPlayer or Netflix to part fund ISP rollouts and stuff. That's what they can't do because of internet, because of net neutrality. However, content providers like net neutrality because it means they don't have to pay more just because they've got a popular product, and their rivals can't seem more attractive because they did pay an ISP for better speeds, etc., etc., etc. And it keeps the playing field level, because it means that if you're a little content provider with very little money, you still get the same access to a customer as Apple or Netflix or someone who could pay whatever's being offered to get the best service during peak rates. That's all where we are now in the UK. Ofcom is asking if this should stay the same now. It wants to gather feedback on whether it should, let's say, be okay for an ISP to offer cheaper broadband that just works for basic web browsing. Again, all hypothetical at this point. Or a premium tier that offers, you know, very, very fast speeds and low latency, which would be really, really good for multiplayer gaming or for live streams or VR. They even talk about driverless vehicles and things, because they'll use 5G, and a lot of providers now can sell you fiber and 5G. Ofcom also wants to know if ISPs should be able to do more intelligent traffic management. So right now, it can, to a reasonable degree, slow people's connections during peak times when there's like a massive game released and basically the network's at risk of being crippled or ruined. So they can throttle at peak times. They can throttle certain protocols. You know, we've seen ISPs throttle BitTorrent if it tells you're using file sharing networks and something, but only really in extreme cases, and there's not a huge amount of legislation out there that explicitly says these are the rules and this is when you can do that. And again, Ofcom thinks maybe that we should talk about that. And it also thinks you should talk about zero rating, which we basically already have in, say, the mobile world, where a company can strike a deal to say, hey, don't let our music streaming service or our video streaming service eat into a customer's limited amount of data, and they can sell that as a, you know, as an add-on. And we see that most of the major networks offer something along those lines. But in the broadband world, certainly in the fiber world, we tend not to be restricted to usage. And so zero rating stuff's not that important. But this is all up in the air. Ofcom has set a January deadline for comments on all this. I'm going to set a slightly stricter deadline at the end of this sentence for Ian to give me his comments, though.
I'm very opposed to this.
I thought you might be. I thought you might.
Well, I just I don't like anything to do with it. And of course, those idiots over at TalkTalk were the first to chip up and say, oh yeah, this sounds great. Not being able to mess around with people's internet traffic is really holding us back as a business. No, douche canoes. The thing that's holding you back as a business is the fact that you let everyone's personal details leak on the internet because of your awful security. You shouldn't still be in business. Anyway, that aside, I don't want this. I don't think it's good. I think allowing a situation where, like you say, you know, let's say Disney Plus decides to bung internet service providers a few quid a month to stream things better than Netflix. This is an awful experience for the end user. It's going to be confusing. No one's going to know who's paying what for what. You know, there is just no way for the public to understand the implications of this. You know, obviously certain ISPs will think it's great, that because, you know, they'll be able to rake in a few extra quid. I imagine that would be more like the bargain basement ISPs, TalkTalk being one of those, so, you know, who see it as a way to supplement their income, which they somehow feel isn't enough. Anyway, I think it's an awful idea. I don't necessarily feel like I wonder, you know, for people's own usage, should we not be providing them with tools to maybe prioritize things or their own networks? But I don't see why we would allow companies to do this. It's awful.
I'll play devil's advocate ever so slightly, because we already have an ability for companies to sell different qualities of service. It's just that right now it tends to be tied only to speed. Whereas the option of saying, well, we'll also sell you faster latency, or splitting out to sell faster upload as well as faster download, those are the kinds of things that I don't really have a problem with at all.
I'm not saying that I necessarily have a problem with that. I think that, yeah, sure, why not? You know, if, I mean, no one, like you said, no one's stopping Virgin from selling a much higher upload speed or far improved latency. No one says they can't do that. You know, they did have a gamer package, I think, for a while that promised better latency.
Well, they did, but it was more about upload speed,
right?
As I recall.
Yeah, and actually the Virgin, I know, are looking at currently boosting up those speeds and dropping latency. And that's something I think they're planning on rolling out to everyone, not just people who pay for it. But again, yeah, I don't mind that, because I think that presents the consumer with a really simple choice. Yeah. It's like, you're a gamer. Well, so low latency is more important to you then, presumably, than download speed. But you need a good upload speed. So maybe 50 by 50... and as low a latency as they can manage is good for you. Whereas I watch a lot of streaming TV. So what I really need is a good download, and latency isn't such an issue. So fair enough. What I don't like particularly is the fact that these are all used as ways to gouge the public. But I accept the fact that there might be a place for it.
We have to also just reiterate. This is a proposal, and this is going to be months of gathering feedback and then some more debate. Nothing's going to happen around this for at least probably until this time next year. And even then, it's probably still going to need to go through government, because it'll require some legislative changes and things. So it's a long way away. And actually, the document that outlines all this stuff on Ofcom's website, I read through a fair bit of it and I did a lot of searches for a lot of keywords. It's about 150 pages long, I think. There's a lot of data in there. And we'll put a link to this. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. They do point out quite explicitly that there is a very obvious caveat that we need to be struck in that most of the big content providers are the ones with huge amounts of money, and it would create a very difficult competitive landscape to say, well, we're going to allow for people to allow a company to pay for priority access, because it'll be all the big companies that can do that and all the smaller ones won't be able to compete. Like, they basically said that's just not going to happen in this document. So I think this is more nuanced and overall not as bad as it sounds like it could be. The question really will be is it the slippery slope? It's like, what's not being asked?
Yes.
And what's not being...
That's always the case, because because these companies will push it as hard as they can. And traffic shaping on a network, I get it. Like, if there is a way to, you know, sort of stop... if you're watching TV, for the ISP to switch that to a higher latency because it no longer matters, well then, okay, fair enough. But I would say that's a technical operation of the network. I don't think that falls under net neutrality, say. I think what we're talking about here is the idea that they can allow pay to access in that way, you know, and to essentially, like you say, push out smaller providers. Like, you know, what happens to... Okay, so Amazon Prime and Disney Plus and Netflix will all be fine. They'll be able to pay the extra, you know, fee to be higher quality, less interruptions, less, buffering. But what about, you know, your smaller, you know, like your Crunchyrolls and your Mubis and all the sort of, you know, the niche bespoke streaming services that don't have big budgets and can't afford to do it? You know, it just isn't right for that to be a possibility, I would say. You know, the internet needs to be a something of a democratic service and offer the same services to all, or charge more if that's what it takes. So, you know, I mean, I get that there is a cost of living crisis going on, and I'm totally sympathetic to that. But I don't see this as... I never see this as going as being a positive thing for the consumer, because the money that Netflix and Amazon give to your ISP has come from you. So you're actually just paying more through a different route. So you're not going to actually ever benefit from this. It's just a way for money to be moved around and to make everyone's life worse and more complicated.
Well, that's a positive assessment from Ian. If you have a similarly enthusiastic point as Ian, do let us know. John in our live chat made a couple of salient points. One is, why not just provide a reliable, excellent service, both technical and customer, and have a good reputation that brings in more customers? Wise offering there, John.
Yes.
Also, I'd like to see more cheap routers that ISPs give you with more flexibility in their settings to adjust your broadband according to usage. Again, a very smart suggestion. Will never happen. Unlike your feedback, I hope, which you can send to hello@uktechshow.com. Just going to throw out a thank you to our patrons. I'd like to thank... Who should we thank this week? Kenji. Hello, Kenji. And Peter. Hello, Peter. sorry, that sounded a little bit creepy, didn't it? But I genuinely do wish you a warm hello. If you want to become a patron, you can join Kenji and Peter and many others. Get the full version of the show ad-free. Join our live audience. We've got a great crowd listening live and chatting with us as we record this week. You get extra message. I recorded that in a forest again this week. It was a lot of fun. Learn more, patreon.com/UK Tech. And if you're a patron, you're about to hear this week's third discussion story, all about Amazon, which is planning to sell UK homeowners insurance as well as security cameras and new smart locks for your door, stuff like that. What could possibly go wrong? We'll be right back. feedback. Right on the downbeat there. Got a few emails. I wanted to pick out a nice line from Mark. Mark actually sent us a really nice email, but he included the following. He said, I really liked your discussion this week about smart radiator valves. There's a sentence you don't hear often on other podcasts, but thank you, Mark. He continues, I don't think that there are enough shows that take a thoughtful examination of tech items in a way that's agnostic to the specific brand. You like the smart radiators as a class of product, find them useful in your house, and would buy them again. This type of material is useful and missing from what I know of as being available. By the way, I have a forced air heating system, so I can't use smart radiators. Very sorry to hear that, Mark, on the latter point, and very glad to hear it on the former points. Thank you very much. We've taken a lot of feedback on board over the last few weeks and made a few changes, a few revisions. Maybe you've noticed those, maybe you haven't. But like Mark, if you like things or dislike things, do let us know. We've had both, and I'm not ashamed to say that. And we're not too big to change things if we think we're going in the wrong direction. But the way to do that is to drop us an email. Someone else who uses email is Tom Merritt. He hosts Daily Tech News Show. Let's find out what he's been talking about this week on his podcast over the last week.
This week on Daily Tech News Show, Blair from This Week in Science tells us how to use social media to make things better, not worse, for animals. Dave Hamilton tells you why you might want a Wi-Fi 6E mesh router, even if you don't have any Wi-Fi 6E capable devices. In fact, especially if you don't. Netflix says it wants to expand into PC gaming, and it's serious about it. It's got like 5 studios now. Do you need a security label on your electric vehicle? What about on your EV charger? And Patrick Norton and I talk about whether all the excitement has gone out of tech. We think it just depends on where you're looking. All that and much more at dailytechnewsshow.com.
I think the excitement's gone out of tech a long time ago.
I think it depends. I'm very excited about the discussion about 6E routers. That's bang on. Very useful stuff, and I can see why they're saying it's useful if you don't have 6E devices.
I've got very sexy devices.
Oh, very good. Yes, very good.
Sorry, not one of my best. Well, thanks everybody for listening and feeding back to our email. Leave us a review. That's great. Apple Podcasts, yeah. Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you can leave us a review, that would be marvellous. I think unless there's anything else, Ian, we'll see everybody next week.
We will. It was fun. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Toodle pip, and have a good one.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.